You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. And wow, what a wild Week 14 Sunday it was. We already broke down the Thursday nighter that was a bit disappointing, 20-17. The Falcons beating the Saints on Focus Friday. But wow, we didn't expect all those twists and turns and crazy results to happen on Sunday. You had some very disappointing performances. You had some monster performances that carried a lot of teams, I'm sure, into the next round of the fantasy football playoffs. Some the championship, some the semifinals, but so much excitement going on. And we'll break down all that action here as we do put a bow on Week 14 with Roundup Monday before we can flip the script to Week 15. And remember that you don't want to really chase the box scores here. We're looking for the best takeaways you can put into making your team better and more successful in Week 15. So all the way through, the Steelers studs coming through. A lot of great excitement. So we'll dive right into that. And our first game in the early window that we'll talk about is the 49ers and Texans. 26-16 is the final. The 49ers win their second straight road game and second straight start with Jimmy Garoppolo. And he really is a story here. Again, not a monstrous fantasy day because he did have his second pick in as many games, his second career pick, but 334 yards and a TD. So he did eat up the yardage here that we expected against the Texans' weak pass defense. Yeah, another score would have made his day pretty nice here for you. But you look at Garoppolo, a little off at times, did have a pick, but he's getting the job done, moving the ball around and facilitating this offense. And the big development has been Marquise Goodwin. Yeah, he looked like a wide receiver 3-4, but now I think he's a wide receiver 2, borderline 1 with the way he's being used there and the connection with Garoppolo, immediate connection. 6 catches, 106 yards on 12 targets in this victory. He was the biggest thing that the Texans could not cover. Then he spread the ball around while Garrett Celek made a big play and got the touchdown. Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback, the versatile guy that they used, got the ball to Kendrick Bourne, Aldrick Robinson, Lewis Murphy, Trent Taylor, George Kittle. So remember, these are not household names, and this is without Pierre Garçon in there, maybe without a chance to upgrade at the other receiving spot in the draft for the 49ers. So Garoppolo has high upside for 2018 for sure in this Kyle Shanahan offense. We know the kind of season that Matt Ryan was able to have in this, and the Garoppolo's getting a head start. Remember, it took Matt Ryan 2 years to kind of break out for Shanahan, and that's why Garoppolo playing now is very good for his chances for production, reality play, and fantasy. And then another thing he's doing is making Carlos Hyde very viable. You'll take 14 carries for 78 yards and a touchdown in a tough matchup any day as your RB2 for Hyde. So he's helped Hyde. He's helped everyone in this passing game. The 49ers' defense is starting to play better, and that's another thing that's developed here as well. They're just not the same sieve as earlier because they're being able to control the ball, score, and put pressure on teams. So that's also changed. And with the Texans, I thought Tom Savage could have a good game. Unfortunately, he got knocked out of this one early. And they put him in for a game, looked woozy, and had to come out here for T.J. Yates. And T.J. Yates looked very good, 175 yards and 2 TDs. The problem is no one thought that he was going to be in there. So when you look at the combined game by these two, and I think Savage could have hung in there to put up some points, it was pretty good as expected against the 49ers. The thing that's really changed, if you've noticed here in the past few weeks, Jordan Howard was shut down. This 49ers run defense used to be terrible. This game, Lamar Miller was shut down. 17 carries, 53 yards, only 2 catches for 7 yards. So this 49ers run defense has kind of found something, some answers here late in the season as their defensive line and linebacker core has played better. So this is not the same team where you can automatically assume the big rushing yards are going to be there. They're playing the Titans next week, and you look at that's a good matchup offensively for Garoppolo against another bad secondary, but you can't expect the Titans, even with their running game, because it's not been as elite as you expect here. It got shut down in Arizona. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But when you look at that, you just can't assume the Titans are going to run all over the 49ers. They're just doing a lot of better things here. What we learned quickly with Yates coming in for Savage as well is that DeAndre Hopkins became even a bigger go-to guy, if that's possible. 16 targets, caught 11 for 149 and 2 TDs. So what a big-time performance here that you wanted in this great matchup for Hopkins. He comes through. He comes through every week. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. But it seemed like Yates even favored him more. He thought Yates might be able to spread it out, but Steven Anderson, our hot sleeper, really faded here. The connection just wasn't there with either Yates or Savage. This one, 2 for 16 on 6 targets there. And Will Fuller returned. That kind of affected other receivers doing things, but he only had 3 for 26 on 5 targets. So pretty much still the DeAndre Hopkins show, and if Miller's not going to get going in the running game, Hopkins is going to pretty much be their main source of offense. And I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon. We'll have to see if Savage can play. I would think that you'll have to miss at least one game, but Yates, Savage, doesn't really matter. Hopkins is going to keep getting the job done for your team. We move on to our next game, and this is the Bears going on the road to destroy the Bengals 33-7. And we'll start with the Bears because you saw Vontaze Burfict missing the game with a concussion. Nick Vigil was already out as well. I thought Jordan Howard could really get on track. You'd think they would feed him a lot after last week's debacle. They did. 23 carries, 147 yards, and a pair of 2 TDs. Terry Cohen had his way as well with 12 carries for 80 yards. I think this should have been the Bears' offense for a long time. Finally, Dell Logan's the offensive coordinator. Finally stuck to what their game plan really should have been pretty much every week with Mitchell Trubisky. And there, of course, it helps that the Bengals were a little bit more vulnerable against the run, but the Bears took full advantage of that. Mitchell Trubisky really played well in this one. 25 of 32, 271 yards, and a TD to Adam Shaheen. So Adam Shaheen really struggled to get on track last week against the 49ers, but became a bigger part, catching 4 of 5 targets for 44 yards and a TD. Kendall Wright came through as well with the Trubisky playing well, 10 catches, 107 yards on 11 targets. So Dontrell Inman kind of out of this mix here. And Josh Bellamy had a big play as well. But Wright, and when the running game is working, the slot receiver and the tight end are going to work for Mitchell Trubisky, and that's what you see. So we'll have to see with the Bears going forward. But right now you have to feel a lot more confident in Howard. I think Cohen comes into play. 2 straight good games for Cohen. So he is now a key part of this game plan with things happening and the rest of this offense. So when you look at that, yeah, the upside is low overall, but you look at Howard Cohen, and I think Shaheen could have some very good value in the matchup coming up this week as well. So keep that in mind. So this offense has some upside. It's trending in the right direction at the right time to have some viability, especially if you're Howard owner. You had to be pleased with John Fox and his staff getting it right. On the other side, we really liked Gio Bernard. They're filling in for Joe Mixon, who was out with the concussion. He came through for you. You wanted a touchdown, maybe, but you're not going to be too greedy when he has 130 yards from scrimmage on 17 touches. So you'll take that any day there, and it was a good value play for sure because the PPR value, even in the half-pointer with the 6 catches there for Bernard. So he came through. Disappointing game for A.J. Green. You thought him and Andy Dalton would eat up this secondary. Didn't happen. 141 yards passing, 14 for 29 only for Dalton. So terrible game for Dalton. Green ended up with only 5 for 64 on 12 targets. So the Bears really did a good job breaking up that connection. Brandon LaFell had a TD. So Bernard, we were all in on, and that came through. But everything else on the Bengals was an absolute mess in this one. And Bengals becoming a harder team to trust now. This is a situation you think at 1 p.m. and everything would go well, but now they got to play the Vikings here in week 15, and you can't be confident about anything in this offense. I mean, you play AJ Green, but remember he's going to have Xavier Rhodes probably shadow him in this game. So low upside Bengals offense, only 1 touchdown. It's not going to get too much better in Minnesota. We go to our next game, the Snow Bowl between the Bills and the Colts. 13-7 the Bills win. Pretty much you could not pass in this game. When you look at the 16 attempts for Buffalo, only 22 for the Colts, Buffalo, Nathan Peterman with him in there, they weren't going to do much. 57 yards passing only. Did have a TD there to Kelvin Benjamin. Great catch in the end zone, but not much there. Joe Webb had to come in. He was only 2 of 6 for 35 yards and a pick. So really it was an all-running type game. 51 attempts in all. 32 carries for LeSean McCoy, including the game-winning touchdown in overtime. So if you played McCoy, you were extremely thrilled there. He came through as a must-have DFS play there in cash games, 156 yards and a score on the ground. So he didn't have to be involved too much in the running, in the passing game at all here with the McCoy just eating up yards and yards. The volume was high. On the other side, the same thing happened with Frank Gore. He didn't get in the end zone. That was a short pass there to Jack Doyle as his only big play of the day. But look at Frank Gore, 36 carries there. So it adds up. He only had 3.6 yards per carry, but it added up to 130. He also had a catch for 10 yards. So this Buffalo run defense, it doesn't matter what the weather is. Same thing with the Indianapolis run defense. Both units not very good. So you want to keep exploiting them here down the stretch as much as possible, whoever they're playing. Both teams are very vulnerable against the run, and that's what you're seeing. And unfortunately, the weather had a lot to do with wiping out everything in the passing game, but it had to be encouraging that Benjamin, Kelvin Benjamin, 3 catches, 38 yards. And TD saw 8 targets, that he made some big plays for this team for the first time and might have some value. The weather cooperates and the health of Tyrod Taylor cooperates going forward for sure. With the Colts, they seem dedicated to keep giving Gore the ball. Marlon Mack only had 9 touches in this. T.Y. Hilton was just wiped out in the snow as well. So you can't take away too much from this, except the run defenses are still bad for both teams. It doesn't matter what the conditions are. We go to our next game. Typically, it will be a marquee game and a marquee window, but it was not. It was a 1 p.m. game. The Cowboys and Giants, 30-10. The Cowboys pulled away in this one with 20 points there to break a tie in the fourth quarter. And it was close otherwise, but Dak Prescott, we said we really liked him in this one. He came through 332 yards, 3 TDs. He was all in the zone with his intermediate receivers. Now, the box score was really surprising here because Rod Smith had a long touchdown, an 81-yard burst there to really pad the day for him and Prescott. But 5 catches, 113 yards on 5 targets. So, weird game for Rod Smith. He also had 6 carries for 47 yards on a touchdown. So, unfortunately, a lot of people that had Rod Smith in their deeper leagues probably did not play him because of the limited touches he'd been getting. But the Cowboys were in control, gave him more of an opportunity here. Alfred Morris was pretty effective at times, but he had 62 yards only on 19 carries. So a little bit of a limitation there where they went for the upside of Rod Smith to get a spark in the offense. And Dez Bryant had a good game, 3 catches, 73 yards on 5 targets, another trip to the end zone, second straight week. Cole Beasley had a big play for 54 yards. A lot of big plays that the Giants are giving up, and that's going to be something that you're going to watch. Philadelphia plays them this week. So big chances there for big plays in the running and passing game, and the Cowboys took full advantage of that. And this Giants team is absolute free fall without Janoris Jenkins in the secondary. Their linebacker core is a mess. They can't stop anything. So all in with everything the Giants do. It didn't really matter that Steve Spagnuolo took over as interim head coach as the defensive coordinator. The defense still stinks with all the injuries. On the Giants side, you were highly disappointed with Eli Manning. I mean, he comes back in the start, big pomp and circumstance. He goes back to old Eli Manning. 228 yards, TD, 2 picks, a rating of only 68. Just not very good at all. Evan Engram was solid again, catching of a 4-7 targets for 54 yards. But Sterling Shepard was a monstrous disappointing. Really, every other receiver was just bad here for the Giants. Rhett Ellison caught the touchdown, so Engram couldn't even get in the end zone. He had Sterling Shepard in a terrific matchup, 2 catches, 16 yards, and he also had a carry that was disastrous there for minus 9 yards. So Sterling Shepard was just awful in this game. Eli was not very good. The running game became a little bit more Wayne Gallman, who actually tallied 99 from scrimmage on 19 touches. So it kind of pivoted away more from Arlene Starkway with the game flow getting out of hand. And I think that could happen here with the season totally out of hand here. 12 touches for 44 yards for Orleans Darkwa. So he's a goal line dependent back at this time. Like Gallman looks like the guy that they want to get more involved to maybe spark an offense that really needs something here to take out of the season as a positive. Now, whether it's the Giants you like, or the Eagles, or your team, or the Seahawks, Falcons, any of these contenders in the NFC, we've got a show for you on the Locked On Podcast NFL Network. It's like getting your beat report progressive throughout the week. Great player interviews, features, and everything you could ask for to follow your team and know everything you need to know about your favorite team. So check out those shows for sure. Love listening to what they're saying on Locked On Eagles or Locked On Seahawks. Any of these shows are just fantastic, and I can't recommend it more. I love being part of this network, and you should check out all the shows there. You can subscribe like you do for the show on iTunes, and check us out on the platform for Panoply. Every show you can listen to on the Locked On Network is just going to make you smarter about the NFL. Now, let's move on to a interesting 1 o'clock game here. The Lions were in control of this game against the Buccaneers. They were about to pull away, leading 21-7, but had to rally to win 24-21 with a late field goal drive. Matthew Stafford played very well with the hand. He did have two picks there. That probably was played a part. But he had 381 yards and a TD against his bad Bucs secondary. Theo Riddick was the story. He pilfered a couple TDs there. Didn't really run effectively, but he got the goal line work again here with Noah Amir Abdullah. A healthy inactive. He had the neck injury going in, but he was scratched because they wanted to look at other options in the running game. So Amir Abdullah is just completely unusable now that he could have played and they didn't want to play him. Riddick with 10 carries for 29 did score twice, so that kind of saved his day. So Abdullah is kind of superfluous if Riddick is going to be able to do that and be effective in the pass game as well. 6 catches for 64 yards on 10 targets. So Riddick looks like the feature guy for now. Ahead of all the other backs, Teon Green only 5 carries for 15 yards. When you look at the Lions receiving, you expected a little bit more from Marvin Jones, but got going late in this game to have a salvageable day in PPR, 3 catches, 64 yards on 4 targets. Golden Tate was busy, 8 catches, 85 yards on 9 targets in the score. So basically he was used as an extension of the running game. And Eric Ebron, I don't know, the Lions like this Bucs matchup against the tight end with no T.J. Ward on the other side, really exploited that. 10 catches for 94 yards on 11 targets. Not the only random big volume tight end day that we didn't expect this week, but Ebron definitely a big part of what they want to do. Clearly less of Kenny Golladay here in the mix. It's really the two wide receivers and the tight end, Riddick, being the primary guys going forward for Matthew Stafford. On the other side, you look at the Buccaneers, another disappointing game for James Winston. He did, fantasy-wise, he seems to find the 2 TD, 275 range, but reality, really ugly game with the fumble and the two interceptions as well. So a lot of things he just leaves on the table. Doug Martin, he did get a touchdown, but he also lost a fumble. It was really terrible overall, but somehow they stuck with him. 12 touches for 48 yards. Well, here comes Peyton Barber, rushes 12 times, automatically gets 58 yards. Not a surprise there that Barber did more. He had a chance to score a touchdown as well. It just didn't materialize. They threw it to O.J. Howard instead for a short one. So that was a weird thing that O.J. Howard was back to being the big target here, tight end over Cameron Brate. Only one catch for 11 yards on one target after scoring twice last week. This week, O.J. Howard took over again, 4 catches, 54 and 6. Well, Chris Godwin was the leading receiver here of all the people. Just another bad game with Mike Evans facing Darius Slay. 2 catches, 25 yards there. So the connection just has totally been lost with Winston. It's very disappointing. And DeSean Jackson, not much better, 4 catches for 41 yards. So what a disaster this Bucs offense has become. It's just a crapshoot every week, what you're going to trust. And I don't think it's going to get better. I think this does have high upside if they make a coaching change. I would expect that to happen. Offensive-minded away from Dirk Koetter at the end of this year. Our next 1 o'clock game that was the surprise shootout, and we're welcoming it, was the Packers rallying again. Second straight overtime win, 27-21. They were actually down 21-7 in this game. In the fourth quarter, they rally with 14 points and then score the winning touchdown in overtime. Brett Hundley, what a road warrior this guy has been, and he's kept them alive. He's probably facing his last start here, so they play on the road in Carolina, but Aaron Rodgers should be cleared to return that game. But if not, this has to inspire a lot more confidence as well. 35 for 46, 265 yards, 3 TDs. Also had 31 yards rushing, so huge game for Hundley on the road. He's just been somehow better on the road this year and has kept their hopes alive in this one with some big-time play that you'd see from Rodgers in certain situations. But Jamal Williams, what can you say? What a godsend he's been for fantasy teams late in the season, taking over for Aaron Jones. He's looked much better than Aaron Jones or Ty Montgomery ever did. 22 touches there, 118 yards and 2 scores. What a big day for Williams. He's wide open on a 30-yard passing touchdown from Hundley. Davante Adams, just what can you say? With Hundley, he's been locked in. 10 catches, 84 yards, and a couple of scores on 14 targets. So Adams has been on fire. He'll still be a big part when Aaron Rodgers returns, for sure. He's just carried this team well. Williams will be there as well. What we'll like is Jordy Nelson coming back to relevance. Only 4 catches for 33 yards and 5 targets. For whatever it's worth, that has been the big fallout from the Hundley injury. A lot of other things, Williams and Adams have been continuing to be affected, but Nelson has just been erased from games. And keep in mind, the Browns do have one pretty good corner there in Jason McCourty, and that's kind of what you saw materialize here for the most part. But great game by Hundley, great game by this rushing tap, great game overall by the Packers. On the Browns side, DeShone Kizer also had 3 TDs, only 214 yards, only rushed for 7, had 2 picks in there as well. So that allowed the Packers to kind of creep back into this game and take advantage. The big story was that Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman were both effective, 3 for 69 on 6 targets and a touchdown for Gordon, 5 for 62 on 6 targets and a touchdown for Corey Coleman. And Duke Johnson Jr. was effective as well in the passing game, 4 catches, 41 yards, a TD, and not much rushing, but Isaiah Crowell did the work there, 19 carries, 121 yards, as well as 3 catches for 10 yards. So very good game for both Browns backs in this one overall. But things just slow down for them late in the game. But you were looking for Kizer to be a good streamer. That happened for sure. Gordon and Coleman could come through in this matchup. That happened for sure as well. So at least fantasy-wise, even though the Browns still didn't get a win, they fall to 0-13. This was a perfect development and a sneaky source of points. If you had a lot of shares in this one, you were very, very pleased. We go to another 1 o'clock game here. We have 2 more to talk about. The Chiefs and Raiders, and from the Raiders we'll start. They were the massive disappointment. Derek Carr, horrible season, 1 TD, 2 interceptions there. You thought he could recreate some of the things that happened in the first matchup in Oakland. That did not happen, especially with Amari Cooper getting rolled on and getting re-injured there in this game. No catches on 1 target for Cooper. Got banged up, and he was out of this pretty quickly. So that was unfortunate for Cooper owners that he was activated, and then he got hurt again, and you got a big, fat goose egg with Cooper. He didn't fare much better than Michael Crabtree. Salvaged 7 catches for 60 yards, 13 targets, but a lot of it came in late garbage time. It was looking pretty bad for Crabtree. Kind of salvaged his PPR day. When you look at Jared Cook, even with Clive Walford being factor, Cook got the garbage there, 5 catches, 75 yards, and a TD on 6 targets. But overall, pretty bad for the Raiders. They got one nice play there in garbage time with Marshawn Lynch, 7 carries, 61 yards, including a 27-yard TD. So the game flow got out of hand. Lynch could have done more, but only 7 carries for him overall. But the Chiefs were in control of this one pretty steadily here. They're up 26-0 after 3 quarters, and that 26-0 score tells you that it was a big field goal fest for the Chiefs, which was true, and that really hurt Alex Smith on this one because Kareem Hunt came back to life. The game flow and the score all worked out in the Chiefs' favor where they could feed Hunt finally in the second half. So he had 25 carries, 116 yards, and a TD. Also 3 catches from 22 yards. So For Kareem Hunt owners who've been waiting for this game since like September, he finally came through, and because the Chiefs were finally in control of a game from start to finish. That hurt Alex Smith. Alex Smith had a chance for a touchdown. One was called back to Travis Kelce that looked very good. 7 for 74 for Kelce. So that turned a great game into just a solid game for Kelce on 13 targets. Tyreek Hill had some chances for big plays, made a 44-yarder, but only 4 for 75. And that tells you Alex Smith did not have a good fantasy game. 268 yards and a pick. No TDs to show for it. Was sacked four times. Only 24 yards rushing there. So really irrelevant day for Smith and Carr. Disappointing. And this tells you, really, when you look at these two teams, it's basically Hunt and Lynch that you trust going forward. Everything else, with the way these quarterbacks are, is just a crapshoot from week to week. Now, the marquee game in the 1 o'clock window, and the one I was at, was the Panthers rallying to beat the Vikings 31-24. The rally is that this game was in their control, but they had to do some things late there to make sure they didn't lose it. It was 24-24 until the Panthers scored the game-winning touchdown on their last real drive of the game. When we look at Cam Newton, he was disappointing for most of the day here for sure. 137 yards passing, only TD interception. He did make up for everything with that 62-yard run late in the game to really make his day worth it. It kind of added an extra touchdown into his mix, but still not a great, great game for Newton overall, fantasy or reality-wise, but he was effective, made the plays when needed to get the victory. Jonathan Stewart, this comes out of nowhere. He's never had a 3-touchdown game. He had it. This team, the Vikings, had never allowed a 100-yard rusher. I think the highest total was 94 early in the season against Amir Abdullah. It's Jonathan Stewart, random. 60-yard run early on the Panthers' first drive with a big, big game. So what's the thing that's most frustrating about Stewart is that you never know when these big games are going to come. They seem to come in tough matchups when you least expect it. And in a good matchup like New Orleans last week, it doesn't look so good except for score. But I think with Stewart, his value is that he can always get in the end zone, whether it's long or short. And you saw that happen here for sure. And that makes him a viable RB2. And right now, Christian McCaffrey, well, I said he's a more valuable back, but Stewart and the scoring has made him more relevant at the moment. 11 touches only for 43 yards. So the Panthers are pretty much going back to what they did pre-McCaffrey. The McCaffrey-Newton connection is not working as well. There was a pick there late in the game on one of those targets. So totally off connection. And unfortunate for McCaffrey that he continues to be squandered here. Devin Funchess, tough matchup against Xavier Rhodes, but still came through with the 3 catches for 59 yards and a TD. Great buying time by Newton on one particular play. Other than a 60-yard run, that was the big play there. It's moving around to find Funchess for a touchdown early in the third quarter. So Funchess has proved he's solid if he can come through in a matchup like that. And not his best day, but still fight through it and score for sure. Greg Olsen, the foot wasn't right. He was catchless, stayed in the game despite re-injuring the foot, but still nothing to see there. It's still mainly the Devin Funchess show for the Panthers passing game. On the other side, Case Keenum. Keenum and Adam Thielen kept it going here with 6 catches, 105 yards, and TD on 13 targets. So Keenum was fine, 208 yards, and 2 TDs, had the 2 picks, lost a fumble. So Keenum, if you streamed him, you were a little disappointed, but then you were okay with him getting 40 yards rushing in this game as well to help make up for some of the passing letdown here, but still went over 20 points for you, and you got to be pleased with that from Keenum and any quarterback, really, at this stage of the season. The running game was completely shut down. Jerick McKinnon looked like his more type of day, but he did run pretty effectively, only 7 carries for 46 yards. Latavius Murray and his power ways were totally shut down in this one. And Stephon Diggs, you expect more from him. He's just been disappointing to me overall. 10 targets, caught 6 for 64, let one turn into an interception there that really cost the Vikings in the fourth quarter. So disappointing. Kyle Rudolph is just on fire. It's the Rudolph and Thielen show. Rudolph caught another touchdown here early, 3 for 41, 5 targets. So Rudolph, in this tough season of tight ends, is looking as close to the every weeker as you can expect this late in the season. He's a great play against the Bengals next week, and they're banged up defense. Are you looking forward to next year's superstars and the next wave of talent that you can draft in your fantasy football leagues, whether it's a Heisman Trophy winner Baker Mayfield, runner-up there Lamar Jackson, or Saquon Barkley, the dynamic running back from Penn State? Locked On NFL Draft is a great show for you. Joe Ledyard and Trevor Sekema do a great job breaking down next year's talent, and soon here, April will be coming around, the season will be over, and you'll be all focused on the NFL draft and doing some advanced scouting for fantasy football in 2018. So make sure you listen to that show. It's a great source for knowing what's coming up around the corner in the NFL. We now go into our late games, and 23-0, the Broncos are over the Jets. I didn't really like the Jets too much in this game. Then it was confirmed when Josh McCown threw a pick and got hurt again, broke his left hand. Bryce Petty had to come in. He knew it was all downfield from there. Suddenly, Trevor Siemian was looking pretty darn good on the other side. Not a great game for Siemian, but he didn't have to do anything. It was a field goal fest for the most part. 200 yards passing, 19-31, and a TD to Demaryius Thomas. Andy Janovich, of all the running backs they have, the fullback popped it in on a one-yard run. And C.J. Anderson could not pop it in there. Nowhere to be found was Jamaal Charles, hardly a blip in the passing game. So Anderson still looking like the feature back when you look at the touches here. 24 touches for 73 yards. Not the greatest game, but still working out of Dave Booker. Emmanuel Sanders is totally faded. This has been the Demaryius Thomas show here for sure. 8 catches on 12 targets for 93 yards in that score. Sanders banged up in the ankle, only 1 catch for 16 yards. Him and Siemian are way off, and Sanders is just not playable in fantasy right now, but Thomas is. On the Jets side, Petty came in. We don't know if Josh McCown's going to play. We doubt it going forward. Robbie Anderson cooled off. Jermaine Kearse cooled off. He thought Austin Seferian Jenkins would do something in this one, maybe score a touchdown against the Broncos. All kind of wiped away once McCown was knocked out of this game. So we don't know anything of Jets offense going forward. I mean, Bryce Petty dragged down the running game as well. So ugly game for the Jets. If it's Petty going forward or they're going to take a look at Christian Hackenberg, you got to avoid almost everything Jets going forward. Our next game is the Chargers and Redskins. And the Chargers all over the Redskins here, 30-13, and not a surprise the way things happened. Phillip Rivers was solid again, 319 yards, 2 TDs. Even when a game that controlled, you love it that Rivers still goes over 300 like he did against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. Melvin Gordon, you expected him to come through. It wasn't the easiest way to get through with the 23 touches for 83 yards, but did get in the end zone to really help his day. Austin Eckler still kind of pilfers a little bit from him, but Gordon is still the man here when you look at Eckler and his touches, only 4 overall for him. So had even 3 targets in this game, failed to record any. So, and we said it was the Keenan Allen Hunter Henry show. That happened. 6 catches, under 11 yards, no TD, but big game for Allen again on 8 targets, 4 for 50, on 6 targets and a TD for Henry. You got to be happy with that. Tyrell Williams popped back up with a 75-yard touchdown. He's a big play guy. It's been a while since he's been doing anything in the big play realm, but he had it. Random McDay, you're still not going to go chase him for this. 4 catches, 132 yards. Caught all of his targets, and clearly the Redskins have just kind of given up here, letting teams just roll over them. And so if you got anybody on the other side, you look at the game against the Cardinals this week. The Cardinals are playing harder. I think you have to go with as many Cardinals as you can and feel good about them in this game for sure. Kirk Cousins, rough game, 151 yards, TD interception. Things have crumbled around him for sure. Only took 2 sacks against this team, but just really, really bad game overall for this Redskins offense. Vernon Davis, of course, when you didn't even care to use him, 7 targets, only caught 2 for 26-yard TD, but everyone else erased. Samaj Perine was shut down. Doxson and Crowder were shut down. Just ugly, ugly box score. And I don't know if it's going to get much better for the Redskins right now. Offensively and defensively, they look like a mess. I would not trust anything. Another team that you can file away right there with the Raiders is most of the things look pretty ugly. Our next game is the Cardinals and Titans. And the Cardinals upset the Titans. I actually picked this one, a field goal fest for the Cardinals. So not much to see there. Blaine Gabbert was pretty ineffective, 178 yards passing, because sacked five times. Marcus Mariota was through two picks, sacked three times. So ugly games for both quarterbacks. And I feel good about that because I said don't start Mariota, don't start Josh McCown, and that really happened in this one. They're just not playing well in tough defenses on the road. Kerwin Williams did his best without Adrian Peterson, but only 20 carries for 73 yards. So in a game the Cardinals won, the offensive stats were ugly. On the other side, DeMarco Murray was his usual ineffective self here, 13 carries for 47 yards. Derrick Henry was not that much better, 8 carries for 20 and a TD. So when Mariota's not really a threat in the passing game and contained there and the running game is shut down, this Titans offense just can go into the tank. And that's my concern even in the matchup against the 49ers this week. But you expect a lot of Murray and Henry in that one to keep the ball out of Mariota's hands. But at this point, really hard to trust the Titans as well. And Rishard Matthews returned, but the Patrick Peterson matchup was a little tricky. Didn't do anything there. Delanie Walker was bottled up. So Mariota's got to play better for all these guys to play better. And unfortunately, you cannot predict when that happens, and it's very frustrating there for Tennessee. The Eagles-Rams was the marquee game of the late window. Unfortunately, Carson Wentz, big injury there. Before he left, 291 yards, 4 TDs, so delivered his final great fantasy game here of 2018. The knee injury, just devastating that 2017, I should say, 2018, we'll hope he's back and healthy. Having a knee injury this late, though, is a concern for the beginning of 18. But for 17, you got to be pleased with his performance. Went over 33 touchdown passes here. Wentz was just absolutely dealing. Nick Foles did the best he could taking over, and he's going to be the guy. And he has some streaming value for sure because he has the keys to a very good offense. And I think they'll have some wrinkles that they had for Wentz still in there. But big drop-off there. You're going to have to maybe look for other alternatives so late in your fantasy playoffs. He's probably carried you to big things this year, but we'll discuss the streaming and pickup options you have on Pickup Tuesday's show tomorrow. So look deeper into that. But for now, the Eagles, the running game was very good here for the most part. Split up again, but J.H.I. is slowly taking over. If you look at the snaps and everything as the key guy, 15 carries, 78 yards, so pretty good. Didn't get in the end zone, but Jai's getting closer to that feature status over Corey Clement and LeGarrette Blount, and they'll have to lean on Jai more with Wentz out here going forward. They get the Giants, so you expect Jai to go off on the Giants this week. When you look at the Eagles' passing game, it's kind of weird. No Zach Ertz in there, so a lot of Trey Burton came through, 5 for 71 and 2 TDs. Injury to LaMarcus Joyner, the best inside cover man for the Rams, definitely helped Burton get going. But Torrey Smith, randomly a big game, 6 catches, 100 yards on 11 targets. Nelson Aguilar had 8 catches for 64 and 11 targets. And Alshon Jeffrey, 5 for 52 and a touchdown, 11 targets. So pretty even split overall between these two quarterbacks for these guys. They treated Burton a lot like Ertz. And so Eagles offense, we'll have to see how it adjusts, but I don't think it'll adjust too much with the way they distribute the ball, both in the running game and passing game with Foles in there. Unfortunately, Wentz is out, but we know in the year of the streaming quarterback, surprise quarterback, there are options to survive there in fantasy football. On the other side of things, you have Jared Goff, 2 TDs, 199 yards, so okay game for Goff. I didn't think he was going to go off in this one, but you expected a solid game, and that's what you got from Goff without mistake. It was the Todd Gurley show, mainly. 13 carries, 96 yards, 2 TDs. So he played really well against a tough Eagles run defense, and so he had to be pleased with that. Cooper Kupp took advantage of the slot as well. 5 catches, 418 yards, and a TD on 7 targets. Robert Woods is on track to return, but it's really going to be Woods and Kupp. Sammy Watkins, again, finds the end zone. So it seems like this is like a typical day for Watkins. 3 catches, 21 yards, 7 targets, and TDs. Not really the big play guy. I think there's more Kupp and Woods' cup of tea here. So Woods is going to return, so Watkins is probably going to drop a little, but I think Kupp can keep up his value, and Gurley will for sure here with Woods in the shoulder about to heal. We go to our next game, and it was out in Jacksonville. The Jaguars win 30-24. We'll start with the Jaguars side of things. Blake Bortles, very usable now. Tough Seahawks defense, didn't matter. 268 yards and 2 TDs as well. So Bortles grinding away, coming through the yards. Leonard Fournette, doesn't matter who he's facing, had the big run at the end of the game to put the game away. caused a little bit of a scuffle between these teams in kneel down mode, but 24 carries, 101 yards, and a TD, plus four catches for 18. So with each passing week, the ankle looks a little bit better for Fournette, and he's becoming a force again at the right time in the fantasy playoffs. So you got to be pleased with that. I told you I really liked D.D. Westbrook in this game, and whoever was facing the slot corner or Byron Maxwell in this game for the Seahawks. And Westbrook eat up Maxwell for sure. He got in the end zone with five catches for 81 yards and eight targets. 3 for 99, big play for Keelan Cole, 75 yards. But Keelan Cole not on the fantasy radar. I knew that Marquise Lee would have a little bit of a tough time there, seeing a lot of Shaq Griffin, and that happened, 5 for 65. So good to see Bortles get the job done to other receivers. So that keeps the running game open for Fournette. Running game also was pretty good for Chris Ivory here, 6 carries for 48 yards. So Fournette's still the guy, but Ivory yelled, and you have to have him on standby any time with his ankle injury. On the other side of things, when you look at the Seahawks, weird game. They were starting really slow. Then Russell Wilson exploded for some big plays there. Late long passes to Paul Richardson, a 61-yard TD, 3 for 72, and a score on 7 targets. Long TD, 74-yarder to Tyler Lockett there in the fourth quarter, 4 for 90 and a TD, and Doug Baldwin. So tough matchup against the secondary, but this is why you don't bench players like Wilson. Even with two picks in this game, he came through with 271 yards, 3 TDs, made 3 picks actually for Wilson, but made up for it with 3 TDs and 50 yards rushing. So Wilson is just a plus talent. It doesn't matter what the matchup is. Much like Tom Brady, you're going to keep him in there, and he came through for you if you stuck with that. And didn't read too much in the matchup. You got to play talent first over matchup, and that is a perfect example of that in fantasy football. And garbage time, Wilson still got his as he was trying to rally the Seahawks. Just fell a little bit short here, but you have to be pleased that Baldwin came through, as well as the other two receivers for Wilson. In terms of the backfield, this is the big thing we want to see. Mike Davis was effective, but the game flow got out of hand here for him for sure. He had 15 carries for 66 yards, so definitely a solid game for Davis. Looks like the real deal with Chris Carson. Doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon, but Mike Davis is the feature back now in Seattle, and maybe things will look a little bit better here with some favorable matchups down the stretch. But Davis is Sterling the man. J.D. McKissic is still the change of pace, receiving back. Not much to see there. The biggest disappointment, I think, overall was Jimmy Graham. His touchdown streak ended. His catch streak ended. 2 targets, 0 there. So goose eggs at a critical time of the season is hard to see. But clearly the game plan there for the Jaguars was stopping Jimmy Graham at all costs. And it worked to some degree, and they won the game. But for fantasy purposes, that doesn't really help us or excite us that much. Our final game, which was absolutely nuts there on Sunday Night Football. We just don't expect the Steelers and Ravens to play a shootout. But 39-38, Steelers over Ravens. Everything was great in this game. If you had any share of this one, except really for the Ravens wide receivers, but other than that, Ben Roethlisberger, 44 attempts, 44 completions on 66 attempts, 506 yards, and 2 TDs. What a game for Roethlisberger. As the Steelers led early 14-0, but then they were down late. They had to rally from 31-20 down to win this game. So very nuts game overall. Le'Veon Bell, the game flow really hurt him in the rushing attack, but he still got 2 TDs as part of his 13 carries for 48 yards. He was a monster again in the pass game, 9 catches for 77 yards and a TD on 10 targets. So Bell, Le'Veon Bell coming through the way you want in the fantasy playoffs for sure. That's what you want your number 2 overall pick to do. And Antonio Brown, speaking of high overall picks, your number 3 overall pick in all formats. Antonio Brown right now has an outside shot to break the NFL record and maybe push for 2,000 receiving yards ahead of Calvin Johnson, who just fell short of that mark. But 11 catches, 213 yards on 18 targets. So when it becomes the Bell and Brown show, you love it here for fantasy. And when you think about it, think about it this way. Brown got 18 targets. Bell got 21 combined touches and targets. So when you think about that, these two guys are going to dominate games like this. So you got to be thrilled at still how much they're used, especially with no Juju Smith-Schuster. Martavis Bryant is more like a possession receiver. Jesse James is actually the most effective other member of this offense. 10 catches for 97 yards on 12 targets. So very Eric Ebron-like game. That was the other random tight end game. I wouldn't go chasing James. I think that was more the product of some of the things they saw in this matchup against the secondary, that they went away and there was no Smith-Schuster in this one. They had to find someone else to step up. But James was that, and Brown obviously dominated this game. So business as usual for the Steelers. I expect Bell and Brown to be at full systems go. I don't expect the Patriots to be able to take away either of them next week, and that's going to be another high-scoring affair as well. And keep in mind, the Steelers gave the Ravens a lot of opportunities to make big plays, so that should bode well for the Patriots. Chris Boswell, don't forget about him as a killer bee, dropped in 19 points here for your team at a critical time as well. So great overall for the Steelers. The Ravens were the bigger surprise here, that they were able to do so much. Alex Collins, what can you say? He's like the Jamal Williams of the AFC for sure. He's taken over here as a third option, young option, just a power back, finishes well. 20 touches here, 166 yards and a TD. His game could have been better, but they gave Buck Allen a couple of goal line carries. There are goal line situations, including one where Collins was in the game and Allen was the up back. So that had to be a little disappointing if you'd play Collins in a tournament or format and hoping for bigger things. But Allen with a couple TDs there on 25 yards rushing, only on 6 attempts. But the guy that got the ball in pay dirt along with Collins, and then Javorius Allen, a.k.a. Buck, had 2 catches for 32. What this signals is that Danny Woodhead here is droppable. We held on to him. But while Terrence West was down, Collins took over, just like with that Danny Woodhead being down, Buck Allen took over. So those are the two main sources here. In terms of the passing game, Mike Wallace was solid here. 3 catches, 72 yards on 5 targets. But Jeremy Mack on 11 targets continues to fade. Only 3 catches for 27 yards. The passing, other to passing touchdown, other than to fullback Patrick Ricard, was to Chris Moore. So Joe Flacco has some streaming value in favorable matchups, which the Ravens have through the rest of the year. But Collins is a studly stud. He remains in your lineup. And now I consider him, the way things have happened, like Jamal Williams, as an RB1. Not too far behind a guy like Bell at this point. That's how crazy this season has become. So there you have it. Another edition of Locked On Fantasy Football is in the books. It's a busy, busy roundup Monday for Week 14. Had a lot to talk about, a lot of overtime action, a lot of exciting finishes there, and some very pleasing big-time fantasy football productions. A lot different than Week 13, and I was happy to break it down for you. Please subscribe on iTunes to get this podcast delivered to you on a regular basis. We'll come back tomorrow for Pickup Tuesday to help you with your waiver wire and free agent advice going into Week 15. For Locked On NFL Network, this is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time on Locked On Fantasy Football.